Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's still not sending Sarah Beth any BB bucks. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Sunday night recap of Big Brother 23, where we got to see Tiffany make her nominations and then be dethroned by the high roller room and the coin of destiny. Hit it, Taryn.
Destiny.
All here in one special delayed episode of Big Brother 23. Let's welcome in our panel to talk about it. Here is a man who's been having way too much fun this weekend. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. You know, tonight's episode brought me back a little bit. Just a brief history lesson for those that did not watch Big Brother 12, but Matt Hoffman got the Diamond Power Veto. When it's something along the lines of...
All right, Matt, since you have chosen to use the Diamond Power Veto on yourself, it is now your responsibility to name a replacement nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Please make your decision now.
Kat, I'm so sorry. Nothing personal. Got a job to do.
Agency, baby.
Oh, man.
I finally have some agency here.
Yes.
Oh, man. Not since Matt Hoffman have I been so disappointed in the use of a power. Oh, boy.
Taryn, what are you talking about? That was a huge move.
Huge move. The big move, same as the last move.
It was like a heist movie.
Same as the last move.
She stole the nominations and put back identical nominations.
That's
the perfect crime.
You know what they won't, you know how to expect the unexpected by doing the expected.
Ooh, did you just say expect the unexpected, Taryn?
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. A lot to get to here tonight. Good to have Taryn here with us tonight. Back with us tonight, it is the great Lavina Pavel. Lavina, how are you?
I'm doing amazing. Obviously, this is my favorite show. Big Brother is my favorite show. But the one thing that I will say is nothing gets me quicker than when Big Brother spends half the episode on a twist that just blew up in their faces. So, you know, some might say it's a waste of time, but for me, it's just funny. It's just funny content at the end of the day. So happy to be here.
Okay. Happy to have you back with us. And also, we are chuffed a bit to have back with us the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I actually flipped a coin a couple of minutes ago. I actually have the power to replace Taryn and Lavina on this podcast.
Wait. But... Oh, all right. So Taryn and Lavina, hold on. You are now off the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Jenny.
Hey, Rob.
Yes. All right. What
I
do you
have to let you know
yes?
that I just respect you so much that I've decided that I actually want Taryn and Lavina on this podcast.
Okay.
So.
All right. Big huge move. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't feel so good there, Rob.
That split second, Jenny, you got me.
Yeah.
That split second.
Okay.
That's what you do
when
you have agency.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to have a lot of fun here tonight talking all of this through, and we will continue having fun on Monday night when the slop is back for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We will be live on Monday night. Jacob Jones will join us to get sloppy. Sarah Beth enthusiast Jacob Jones will join us Monday night to talk about it all on the slop. If you have any suggestions for this week's edition of the slop, send them our way at robhasawebsite.com/getsloppy. By the way, did any of you happen to see what's coming up on CBS next Sunday night?
I did not.
No, next Sunday night, programming note, right after Big Brother, it's the return of the CBS Sunday night movie, School of Rock. Taryn, are you a fan of School of Rock?
You know, I'm a big fan of School of Rock. I would never insult the person that wrote it. And I think that, it's a great, great movie.
Yeah. All right. So check that out next Sunday night, the CBS Sunday night movie, right after next Sunday's Big Brother. Okay. Let's talk about this because I really felt like that I think, you know, I was thinking that maybe the show might go this way, but I really think that the show put Tiffany at the center of the narrative moving forward. Lavina, did you get that as well from tonight's episode?
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's the HOH, but besides that, I feel like, I mean, obviously we know that a lot of the episodes are surrounded around the HOH and what's the story of the week and who are they going to put up and that and all of that. But I think that even if she didn't win HOH, they still would have done this because we're seeing obviously kind of like a, you know, like a power dynamic within, you know, Tiffany. And, you know, is it like, is it the girl side of the cookout or is it the boy side of the cookout? And obviously Tiffany's kind of like the head of that for the girl side or the women's side. And so I think that we would have seen it no matter what. And I'm happy to see it because I really do believe she's playing the most strategic, in my opinion, the most strategic game in the house of this entire season. So I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, Jenny, we even got the full HOH room segment where we got to see so much about Tiffany's family and her son, Christian. And Mama Pat.
Yeah. We love Mama Pat. Not Patty, but Mama Pat. Yeah, I'm very confused about the editing of Tiffany throughout the season because I feel like they kind of keep changing their mind about how they want to package her to us because I feel like there have been times where they're almost trying to like make her out to be more villainous or like, you know, just not editing her, you know, doing her justice, I feel. And then I feel like we're now back to a place where, you know, and maybe it's just like they recognize that Tiffany really is a fan favorite and really, you know, the fan base is how much control she has of this game. And so they're like, oh, wait, we're back on and Tiffany is great and we're going to give her a lot of character development moments, like a lot about her life, which I personally enjoyed. We got to see. I'm confused about like where they've been going with Tiffany through the season because it hasn't been consistent in my opinion.
Yeah, and that hold that thought, Jenny, because we were losing you a little bit on that one. So hopefully, I know Jenny's dealing with some weather issues.
Yeah,
in her
just
area.
Being warming.
That's all.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's fine. I think we got it. I think we got it.
Okay.
No, I think Jenny's right. I mean, essentially, I think that she gets the $100, the 100 BB bucks from the audience this week. And they're like, okay, the audience can get behind Tiffany. And she certainly gives great content. So, you know, as they have now lost one, two of the top three of the original top three, Big D has fallen out of the top three. Claire is in the new top three. And, you know, who knows how long she is for this game. They're really going to have to go all in on who they can at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's making me curious is why it took this long, because I mean, I understand that not everybody's a feedster, but like, I think that she's been giving us amazing one-liners, great for television content. You know, you can edit that up and put it in a TV show. So like, why has it taken this long? You know, we've had some episodes. I think the last recap I was actually on, it was like the Tiffany show. I remember saying that.
Yeah.
I think that was the only one. And I'm curious why it took so long.
Yeah, it really felt like that they started off the season where, okay, she was fun and we were getting a lot of confessionals and she was talking to the camera. But I wonder if because she was seen as the person who was kind of driving the strategy, that maybe it was it was hard to make that person into the face of the show, where then you ultimately end up being the person who is seen as sort of like the villain because you are the person who's controlling what's going on in the house. Taryn, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it for sure. I mean, I think that they were all in on Tiffany, and then it was the rise of Derek X, and Derek X was like the new golden boy, and with that, you know, Tiffany kind of fell, especially since she was kind of a villain during his week, thinking about flipping the vote on him, and kind of screwing him over. Ultimately, doesn't, but she's the major source of drama there, and so she starts to seem like the antagonist to Derek X, both directly and indirectly because of her loyalty to the cookout. And then, you know, again, moving forward, now you have Derek X, you've got Brittany, the underdog, and it seems like the audience is all in on Big D. They took Big D's side over Tiffany's. And so it felt like the editors were like, all right, well, I guess we're on Big D's side. And that's kind of how it's played out for the last couple of weeks. And then the audience really dropped Tiffany after she didn't go along with the clip to save Brittany. However, because she felt so connected to Derek and she did try to keep him around, seems like the audience came back around on her and they're like, okay, now Derek X is gone. Brittany's gone. Again, who knows how long Claire's going to be here. So let's just let's take a shot here with Tiffany again.
All right. Well, let's talk through what we saw in the episode. And big party in the storage room. And it's interesting. It would seem like that this is not necessarily like an alliance that's partying together, but it was just like a party for Tiffany, Lavina.
Yeah, I think that the girls just it's kind of like an understood thing. Not everything needs to be an alliance. Not everything needs to have a name to it, a very cringy name to it, as we later see down the road, an alliance being formed in the episode. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, it's like I said, it's just an understood thing. Claire is obviously, I think another thing too with the season is everyone's very outward with their duos. Obviously, the cookout is very beyond under the radar, but it's a very otherwise duo season. So Claire has no issue celebrating with Tiffany. And then, you know, of course, Azza and Hannah are just kind of like, well, girl power kind of thing. So sure. It was fun for me to see because I like a good girl power moment and I love all those ladies. So very fun to watch.
Now, this is where I thought that the episode took a weird turn. Jenny, I was very surprised that we did a segment on Kylan crying about Derek X being gone.
Yeah, there were lots of tears in this episode. And, you know, the first crying over Derek X that we got was Kylan, which, you know, we saw him give the sympathy vote on Thursday. And he's really one of the ones that's the most broken up about it, at least, you know, how they packaged it on the episode. And I think that this is actually something that I really like about this season is that I love this show because of the relationships and the complexity of, like, you know, being self-interested, being competitive, like, you know, doing what's best for your own game, but also having personal relationships with people. And I think that with the cookout, especially, there's like a third layer of like not necessarily doing something that's in your best interest as like a game player, not doing what is necessarily with who you like the most. And it's like something bigger than that. So I found like as much as it's not the most fun television to see people crying, I just think that this is compelling to see how, you know, how much it's breaking these people up to, you know, get rid of people that they truly personally like because and even sometimes to the detriment of their game because it's for something bigger than that.
Taryn, were you buying this? Is this 100% on the level from Kylan?
I've seen certainly a few people.
And again, we're not in his head. We're speculating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speculating on the sort of validity of these tiers. I buy it, to be honest. I think that he does feel bad. But, you know, I think the problem is that it's hard sometimes to see that people are not all one thing. And Kylan is definitely very proud of himself for taking out Derek X. He's very proud of how he managed to manipulate Sarah Beth and that he made that move and he thought it was the right move. At the same time, I think because he feels that he did it, he does also feel some guilt over it. I do think he liked Derek X. I do not doubt that he genuinely felt bad and genuinely cried over it. But that does not mean that he was also not also like, yeah, I did that. So, but I feel really bad about it.
Yeah, and I do think also it's a testament to, at the end of the day, Derek X's incredible social game. He had so much. I don't want to use the wrong word. I don't want to say pull, but I want to say just had a great relationship with every single person in the house, even someone like Sarah Beth, who was so excited and happy, like, I'm sending your boy out, America, in the DR, and just smug about it. But at the end of the day, she's still like, he's a great guy. And mm-hmm. So I think that's a big testament to his game and the reason he's not in the house anymore.
I also wonder when this actual scene took place and when the DR took place, because I'm sure that there's probably like an extra layer of stress and emotion for Kylan, knowing like he was very much a part of sending Derek X out and like that hurt him. And now he's watching the writing on the wall with Sarah Beth being next. Like, if this is after Tiffany won HOH, then that could be just being like, okay, I know that this is what Tiffany's going to do here, and I'm going to do this all over again. So that is like also building up emotion as well.
All right. Well, Kylan's partner, Sarah Beth, she's reflecting about Derek X's final words in the house with Xavier and how Derek X put her on blast. Now, I think we saw a flashback to this, Taryn, Derek X compares, said somebody is playing a Nicole F game. But did I read this correctly, that Sarah Beth actually thought Derek X had thought that somebody said that she was playing a cold AF game?
Yes. She was talking to Kylan and he was saying, you know, hey, it's not that bad. He, you know, you were compared to a legend from the game. And she's like, what do you mean? You mean when he said I was cold AF? And he said, no, that's not what he said. You were playing a Nicole F game. She's like, what? I thought he said cold AF. It's like, no, he said Nicole F. And she said, are you? And then the feed cut. I'm really upset that we did not get that on the episode.
Yeah. Jenny, would you rather play a cold AF game or a Nicole F game?
Is that the Spider-Man pointing at each other? Or
yep.
I mean, you could say it's essentially the same message, but with
Are
maybe a little bit more.
Are you serious?
Sorry. I could hear it, though, when like because I needed to hear Derek's speech again to be like, oh, I guess I could kind of see how maybe she heard it that way, but.
I just think it's so funny how they chose, like, CBS chose not to show her thinking it's that. Instead, they really wanted to hone in on that one part that he said, Nicole F. I just found that very interesting.
But Taryn,
I think they know what the fans think.
Yeah, Taryn, is this sort of like, did we retcon people calling her Nicole F? Did anybody call her Nicole? Did we have a Nicole F and Nicole A last season, or was it always Nicole Franzel and Nicole Anthony?
Yeah, people called her Nicole F. I mean, I tried to go full Franzel for a while, but then Nicole Anthony was gone so fast that that we didn't have to do go Franzel anymore. And so I just kept calling her Nicole, but the diary room call was always still Nicole F. And so there were a lot of Nicole F references.
Okay. So Sarah Beth talks about how, I kept Tiffany off the block last week. Maybe I'll be okay. And we get a flashback to the alliance that Lavina was referencing, the monarchy. Lavina, did this group miss the memo that we're done with the monarchy?
Oh, absolutely not. I think they're just kind of like, well, you know, they've literally gone through every single type of like royal thing, like a chess piece name. Like they've really dug this into the, like, what's the saying? Like, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. I think that they are doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've reached the point in the season where, like, at the start of the season, we didn't get Slaughterhouse until, like, week two. We didn't get Royal Flush until, like, 3 weeks after it started. But now we're getting the monarchy, the short-lived alliance that is already dead and never existed really to begin with. But we are going to get that in an episode where it's, again, already gone. And I think that's, again, just, like, the difference in the amount of content that we have to show at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think there have been like worse alliance names than there has been in this season, but I feel like the creativity level is very low because it's just like there's a built-in thing to work off of with the, you know, like the team names, and then okay, we're pulling these people together, and then like, you know, the Royal Flush. It's like everything is like a card pun, so it's like you're not really having to try really hard to come up with something creative because you're just being given the template for the theme of all of your alliance names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it just takes me back to Big Brother Canada 7 and Taryn needing to say pretty boys for the entirety of the season. It just takes me right back.
What a time.
You know,
truly.
We should genuinely be grateful that we don't have to say grateful or pretty boys, and that instead we can refer to this season primarily with the cookout, which is a great name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to see Kylan talk to Tiffany, and they're going to talk through what are the nominations going to be this week. And I liked how Tiffany sort of lets Kylan sort of be the one to suggest him and Sarah Beth being the ones to go up. And Kylan is, come to realize he can't protect Sarah Beth any longer in this game. He got her to, make the horrible nominations last week. And then that's really as far as this is going to go, Jenny.
Yeah, I mean, my lights just flickered. Sorry. yeah, I mean, this is part of what I think, is making Kylan so emotional this, in this episode, is that he sees that this is his turn to bite the bullet and have to, give up his person. It is what it is. And he's not really fighting it. Like, he's talking to Tiffany being like, so it's probably going to be the two of us. So I do appreciate that he's properly taking his turn, because, I feel like we've seen flickers of Kylan kind of wanting to be selfish. But he really is playing along here.
Yeah, this is very like he just got Sarah Beth to do like the big thing, and she took out Derek X for him. It's like, oh man, we just now that you've done that, we've unfortunately reached an impasse. I can't protect you any longer. Sorry about that.
I got a thing. I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'll call you for sure. We're gonna. Yeah, just don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the theme of the season, and it's probably going to happen next week to Tiffany with Claire. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing we haven't seen before.
Yeah, but I thought this episode really presented this really well when we get to this next part coming up with Tiffany and Hannah. And Tiffany really, she got the bracelet from Derek X. She felt like that she was doing it for Derek X. And Hannah ends up, feeling really guilty. And we don't get like a full list of her transgressions against Derek X here in the episode, but we do see her feeling genuinely guilty about having to take Derek X out. And we see Tiffany comforting her about what they're having to go through, each of them. And I feel like that this was really presented. I think we all know what Tiffany's plan and the cookout's plan is, and I think we've all sort of speculated at various times, are people being self-interested? But Taryn, I think this was the cleanest we've ever had it presented on the show, like the individual sacrifice that each member of the cookout has to in turn make to keep this thing going, to accomplish their goal of getting to the final six.
Yeah. And I think the show has been treating it like it's a regular everyday majority alliance. And they haven't really been focusing on what has kept them together and kept them going through all of this, and why it means so much to them, and how it means so much to them as well. They are devastated every step of the way that they are having to make these moves, not only that are not necessarily in their own self-interest, but in the interest of the people that they care about in the game. And so being able to see this and see that they recognize the price of what they're doing, but they're having to like we have to do this. Like, the price is worth is worth it because of the goal that we're aiming to achieve. I think that's important to show on the episode. And I hope that it came through in the way that that it should, because it's something that I don't think the show has done well enough to explain to this point.
Yeah, and Lavina, what I really liked about this is that there's a lot of ways that this alliance is different from other alliances that we've talked about, like the aforementioned Pretty Boys and the Brigade. In that, I feel like that this was really powerful to show the individual members of the cookout take no pleasure in taking out each of their respective partners, and while there might be some glee in taking out other members' partners, for each person who has to give up their pair, Like there's no pleasure in that.
Yeah, I think that's really the difference that we're seeing this season versus others, and why maybe some fans are maybe feeling left a little bit confused. It's because I'm going to say, like, this is one of the best casts we've ever had. And they're just showing human emotion. I think that this scene was one of the more touching scenes that we've seen all season. And like in the last few years, like it's nothing like a grateful situation where they don't care. And I understand that it's a game, but I think that the cookout, and not even just the cookout, the people of Big Brother 23 have accomplished being able to play a cutthroat game. Hey, we want to get rid of Derek X, but unfortunately we love Derek X, and they're showing us that. And I think that that's a huge difference. And another thing too, is I think that the show or production is, struggling with not having a very clear cut villain. You know, we were talking about the Tiffany edit, you know, yeah, she's been compared to like a Vanessa Russo type of thing, but Vanessa Russo is not the same kind of personality, I guess you could say, that Tiffany is. You know, yeah. Obviously Vanessa's freaking out and crying, and it's great TV. Obviously we love Vanessa, but it's definitely not something that Tiffany's doing. And I think that they're struggling in the edit because they have such a formula year to year. It's just different now.
Well, I actually think they really caught a break with Sarah Beth wanting to play into like being villainous. That is like, oh, okay, fine, yep. Fine, you're the villain. Great. So I think, that makes our lives so much easier, Sarah Beth. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've seen in response to this scene and to others, you know, Hannah crying, even Kylan crying. But certainly Hannah crying, like the response is kind of like, well, if you feel this bad, why are you doing it then? You didn't have to do it. You don't have the right to feel bad about this when you actively chose to do it. But they're telling you why they're doing it. It's not like you might not understand why, but hopefully at least through this scene, maybe you can at least start to respect it a little bit, because they know. You're not telling them something they don't know. They know what they're choosing, and they know why they're choosing it, and they're telling you why they're choosing it. And they're saying, this is the price that we're paying, and it sucks, but it matters so much to us that we're still going to do it. So that's I think, again, hopefully the message that that we can sort of attain from this bit from the episode that hopefully we get more of in the future.
I think it's complicated, too, because everyone on this cast seems to genuinely get along and like each other. So there are numerous like layers of relationship here. And so like there's always going to be something about a situation that is going to be like, you know, hard for someone to do. So I think because there's no like big sides and fighting or any sort of drama like that, it's a really hard and complicated story to tell in an edited show when they have like also 300 twists that mean nothing, that end up having no impact. Mm-hmm. So they're really just, I don't know. I just feel like this is an incredible story, but you're not getting it on the edited show very well.
Yeah, I feel like I've talked about this before, but I feel like the edit of Big Brother, the formula that they use, I've talked about how I feel like that's at fault for some of the boring television that we get, certainly. But I think it probably goes even deeper than that. I think that their formula is really holding them back. I mean, the game has evolved to a place where we're getting these kinds of alliances basically every season. But the show is edited in a way that requires more uncertainty in the day-to-day. It's edited as who's going to be nominated, who's going to win the veto, so when you base all of your tension on those things, you're setting yourself up for failure when those things are planned out every single time. There's a lot of genuine human drama to be explored in this season. Things that I think we should give a lot more time to, but they're so stuck in their formula that exists for a game that hasn't really been here for a decade, that they can't see it and they can't seem to show it properly. So I do think that the way that we're even seeing the show at all is has cost us as well.
Yeah,
and I was going to say, sorry, I had one more thing to say. I think that that's another reason that we see a lot of these. I mean, obviously, that's the reason that we see a lot of the DRs that are just fed lines. And I would rather see people actually talking to one another. That's why we watch this show. That's why we love this show. And it just goes back to the way that this show was advertised back in the year 2000 was, this is a social experiment. And of course there's, you know, strategy and competitions and we need these things. But at the end of the day, we want to see the human, like us talking here, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To like base the show around like the outcome of the competitions and the nominations, like it really makes very little sense in terms of what you want to make your television show about, because you also have live feeds where most of the people who, I mean, especially the people who really care about the show, kind of know this stuff. And it used to be like maybe like 10 years ago, certainly like when we first started doing the podcast, that it was a little bit more like of a secret, like, oh, okay, like, we're not gonna talk about like, what's gonna happen on the live feed. Even the way that we do the podcast, where I feel like that a majority of the people who are listening to the podcast, like, already know the spoilers before we get there. I think it's like a very small, portion of the audience that doesn't know that. Whereas when we first started doing the podcast, that it was a small portion of the audience that did know the spoilers.
Yeah.
But that, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. And like, I can appreciate that it's difficult to do. I mean, you know, we do podcasts daily. It's hard to, when you're doing something constantly, to really take a step back and reevaluate for like big stuff. And it's hard to like really process and like, you know, build out something big while you're in the middle of doing it. They're having to edit and produce and deliver 3 episodes a week. Mm-hmm. And you can see how easy it would be to just be like, this is the formula. Like, what do you want from us? You know, we're putting the people in the house and we're cranking these episodes out. We've been doing it for 20 years. You know, you really want us to have to like reinvent the wheel and like work again, instead mm-hmm. of just kind of like do what we've always done, where we get it done on time and then we go home to our families. Like, what do you want from us? But
right.
We do want more.
Exactly. And I mean, I can speak from experience. I work in television, so I understand the thought of, you know, wanting to just stick to a formula, repetition, all of that. It's just more of a well-oiled machine kind of a thing. But, you know, for people like us who, I'm not saying that they're not passionate about their show, because I know that they are. But for people like passionate fans like us, we just know that there's more to give. But of course, we're not in those four walls. We don't know what's going on, but hopefully they can, if they updated the way that they cast the show, I think that they need to update the way that they present the show just a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Tiffany and some of the conversations that she was having. Jenny, we saw an interesting conversation with Derek F, where he's going to come in and they really define their relationship as sort of like a brotherly, sisterly relationship, where they do get into fights, but they are on the same team. But Derek F tells her as soon as he comes in, like, hey, listen, I've got money. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, their relationship is really funny. The brother sister explanation, I think, is pretty apt, because like you said, you know, like it's like the cookout is literally like a family and they don't always get along. And sometimes they would rather hang out with their other friends and all of that. But these two just have terrible communication, like chemistry. I just like watching this conversation again, like, you know, I think Tiffany was trying to say like, oh yeah, just trust me. And then she says this week, because he said, oh, I'll do whatever you want to do. And she said, yeah, this week. And then he says, oh, just trust you this week. And then she's like, no, just do what I say just for this week, because I'm HOH. And then he's already got his back up and being like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like this was like a perfect example of how these two almost butt heads without even meaning to half the time, because they just don't quite understand each other.
Big D is the kind of person, or at least player, who, you know, Tiffany, he's never really gotten along that well with her. He got into it with her at one point, and she is now basically dead, right? Like she will never, like, and the reason why is because he will never, as he explains, as he teaches Azza and Alyssa, you know, hide it. Don't be real. You have to be fake. And so, you know, we talk about like that's a key element of Big Brother, is that you need to be fake. You need to hide what you're really feeling, which is true. But there is a lot of merit to what Tiffany does as well, which is like, if I have a problem with you, I'm going to talk to you about it, because then we can make something work. And the problem with Big D's approach is that he, no matter what conversation he has with Tiffany, will never tell her that he actually still has a problem with her. And that showed up in the conversation, the argument that they had that we did see on the episode, where he's like, I still hate her. But in the conversation, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Whatever it is that you want from me, I'm going to pretend to give it to you right now. And so because he's never going to actually go to the table, they're never going to get anything done here. And they're never going to be able to reconcile that relationship. And it's just going to exist that way for the rest of the game.
Well, and it's also when you like have an issue with someone, or you're like, you're looking for things for them to say or do that feel like a shot at you, or just like a reason to pick them apart. And I feel like that's what DF does with Tiffany, where it's just like, he doesn't want to be getting along with her. He's made his decision about how he feels about her personally. So when she says like the smallest thing that he can construe as like an attack towards him, he like lobs onto it.
But as a game move, I mean, what's the better way to go? Is it better to have it out with her and then like basically like dump out on the table like how he's really feeling, or just, you know, say what he has to say to pacify her in that conversation?
I think that the best way to move forward in the Big Brother game is to take that middle road of do what Big D does, but, you know, act better than he does, because Tiffany saw right through it. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, get them back on board. You don't have to go overboard and explain too much of why you hold grievances. You need to give them a little bit to show that you're actually genuine. But even if you still hold something there, something like, you know, like I still don't like her, whatever it is, you can't live that in the same way. Like, he's pretending with her, but he's living his own truth, which is that he doesn't like her. And that is preventing him from using her in the game in the way that maybe would be useful to him, and building that relationship. So, you know, I think he has the right idea, but he's living it too much. And he's not actually being like, okay, I'm pretending to her that I like her, but what use is that if you're not actually going to use that relationship in any way?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we didn't talk about earlier in the episode, Xavier was concerned about that he was going to go up on the block this week, or so he said, that he was worried about going up on the block, but not. Jenny, is that back?
Yeah, so I felt like Not got brought back with Borat, and now it's like we're getting a resurgence of we're bringing back the 90s fashion is back, like everything that
bucket
was
hats.
Cool.
Yeah,
like
baby.
Bucket hats.
Let's
overalls.
Go.
So you know what? We're bringing things back from, I don't know, is rad a 90s thing? Like, are we going to say rad again?
Sure.
Cowabunga. Like, I mean, the surf up is already a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that kind of. And yeah, bring back the not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this was, I believe, like a callback to Dr. Will in the first place. Xavier's a huge Dr. Will fan, and he's so clearly emulating those Dr. Will.
So he's
diary
just like recycling
here.
Like, oh, this was a funny thing to say in 2001.
Yeah. I really do feel like that Xavier wants to be a DR villain, and the show, like we said, SB was like, hey, I'm gonna switch up and be the Joker this week. They loved that, and obviously they're grasping for straws here, like I said before, so they're like, let's take this Xavier stuff and do zoom ins on his face and like all that crazy stuff. So yeah.
Well, I think Xavier could be a great villain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got him.
Okay. So, all right. Sarah Beth is going to have one last chance to talk with Tiffany. And Sarah Beth is saying that, you know, she feels good with Tiffany, but Tiffany feels like, hey, you know, when you got rid of Derek X, it feels like we're not going to kill you, but we are going to cut off your legs. Levine, that is a very graphic thing to say.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, if I was in Sarah Beth's position, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to say anything anymore, because if someone said that to me, I'd be like, you're putting me up. It's all good. I won't waste your time and like piss you off and give you more information the way that Sarah Beth did. And, you know, threw Alyssa under the bus, didn't make herself look any better. I understand why. But yeah, I think that I would just immediately think, okay, well, I'm going up. So screw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We'll see Sarah Beth and Tiffany one more time on the other side of Tiffany's HOH room reveal. Jenny, boy, everybody was very pumped up to get that Beyonce CD.
I mean, for a limited time.
Is it still a CD? What do they get, like an iPod Nano?
I think I actually don't ever really see it. I just see the headphones. I think it must be like the little one. What's
Taryn,
the little?
What do they get, a Zoom?
The Nano?
Yeah, I think I doubt it's a Zoom.
No, they're bringing back all the early 2000s yes, stuff, so yeah. I think it actually is.
Well, at that Zoom.
Yeah.
No, I think it is like one of those like clip iPod. I don't even know. I don't know.
The one that doesn't even have a screen. It's just got the little
circle
on it.
Yeah, the thing is that
it.
Nobody
is that
actually
Nano?
Uses iPods or MP3 players anymore at all. So I think it's one of those tiny ones.
Okay. America's MP3 player.
That is the most excited that we have ever seen Derek F. Explosive. I loved how excited everyone got, but like he was very, very excited. And that was really fun. I mean, I thought that we weren't going to have time for HOH rooms anymore, but I'm glad that we got to see this.
Because, now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they clearly did. So it's fun to hear the responses to the stuff in the room, and you know, mm-hmm. Beyonce is amazing, and I love that reaction to it. But
I just hope we get the content of them taking Beyonce away.
Exactly. I want to see the reaction to taking the Beyonce away. We got the setup. Now I want to see Derek F. lose his mind when they take it away.
Mm-hmm. It was like 48 hours or something like ridiculous. Not enough Beyonce
Less.
Time.
Yeah.
So we also got to see, we talked about it at earlier in the show, Tiffany's pictures from home, her son Christian. We got the story of Mama Pat, who sounds like a saint on this earth. Tiffany just wants to hear Mama Pat say that she's proud of you. I think that Mama Pat's going to be proud of Tiffany. That's safe to say.
Most definitely. I mean, all of us are proud of her. I can only imagine what her family thinks. I love these moments. I'm so happy that we do have time for these moments again. Like I said, I love watching people read their letters. And obviously when anybody says, I'm not going to cry, you're going to cry. And so will I. So thank mm-hmm. you, Tiffany.
Yeah. And like, I feel like this was in lieu of like a family visit that they're not, I imagine, going to do for COVID reasons. Which I'm very okay with. Like, this is way better than a family visit. Just give me the person talking about, I don't need to see their family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah Beth is going to work on Tiffany one more time. She's going to throw Alyssa under the bus very hard. So she's going to talk about how, boy, Alyssa, she was talking about how you were really happy when Derek X. Or you were mad that Derek X didn't get the HOH. I thought that was weird. I just want you to know I'm not working with her. And Tiffany comes away from that conversation with a very funny report. She says that Alyssa is in the ICU right now because she got thrown under the bus. And she also said that Alyssa got thrown under the bus and she might be dead now.
She might be dead. Has anyone checked on her? Has anyone checked? Is David
Xavier.
Dead?
Xavier has. Yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this is that it's so transparent that Sarah Beth is like, okay, that first conversation didn't really go well. And she had to go and sit and think about what can I come up with? And it's like, oh yeah, I had this conversation with Alyssa and she like said your name and how you reacted to Derek X just missing that HOH. Like, oh, I just totally forgot about that until now. And there's this clip of Tiffany talking about these conversations from the live feeds where she's like, she saw right through Sarah Beth in this conversation and talks about how the first time she came to talk to her, she presented her, she's like, I have this information. And she puts down this like Kleenex box. And then she's like, okay. And then the next time she came to me, she's like, okay. And I have this information for you. And she like you know, threw like a duffel bag onto like the bed. Like she completely sees that Sarah Beth is like, okay, that wasn't enough. I got to go find something new to bring to the HOH. And that was, you know, this benign thing with Alyssa. And you know, if it gave us some content to make it look like there might be some other plan here, then they're going to run with it. But Tiffany's reaction to this was really funny.
Yeah, and it goes back. Sorry, I was just going to say it goes back to the formula that they just follow for episode editing. It's just will this happen? Will it not? You know, and then we. At this point, like I said before, I don't think that Sarah Beth had a chance to not see the block. So the way that was edited, I think even a casual fan could probably understand that. But formula. So.
All right. So we're going to get to Tiffany's nominations. Tiffany will do the nominations in the HOH rope. Taryn, is Tiffany doing the HOH nominations in her robe a mood or what?
I loved it. I mean, it definitely a throwback to like BB3, like going to these ceremonies in the robe. I'm pretty sure it was just because she ran out of time getting ready because Kylan wouldn't leave her alone. But I loved it. I don't like it when they dress up for every single ceremony. I like the feeling of that, like you're living in a house and we're catching you at various points in the day. You're not like all prettied up every single time. So I loved the robe.
And she probably was like, I might not be able to wear this robe much longer. So yeah. I might as well wear it while I have it. And it looks so incredible on her. Why not?
Now, traditionally, I feel like the HOH robe is white. Tiffany had a red HOH robe. Did the robe get a makeover or did Tiffany get a special robe?
They have been getting different colored robes. There's does not appear to be any rhyme or reason. I know people have been trying to figure it out, but as far as I know, people have not discerned any kind of pattern yet.
New supplier.
Okay. All right.
Spoiler girl might know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we get Kylan and Sarah Beth on the block. Anything else about Kylan and Sarah Beth before we talk about the High Roller Room reopening? Sarah Beth said to Kylan, oh, I guess you're my mortal enemy now, Sarah Beth, if you only knew.
I love that they're not even acknowledging that there is a possible out with X being on the block, though. It's like, it's so much about the two of them being on the block together. And it's like, the X being the third nominee is just like such a nothing storyline throughout this whole episode. Like, even with Claire talking in the diary room, she's like, or I guess even X going could be cool. It's like, yeah, that he's equally a nominee with these other two. And I feel like we're not even acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for an episode where he got nominated, he had one diary room, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was it. Like he was not in this episode.
Not
well. And they even were forgetting, like in the conversation earlier in the episode where I guess Sarah Beth and Alyssa and X are all talking about like what might happen with Tiffany. He's like, well, I'm definitely going to be on the block. And they're like, oh yeah. Like it just seems like it's nothing. Like such a flop of a twist. It feels.
I mean, yeah, That's what I was going to say. Like, it's just another testament to the twist just not doing anything. And again, we're taking half the episode with this, so yeah, it's only the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all right, let's get to the High Roller Room, because this week people are going to have the chance to play for the Coin of Destiny.
I love her laughing as like she can't even get it out because she's already making herself laugh.
Mm-hmm. Who is the woman that does the voiceover for the High Roller Room?
I don't know, but I just want to talk. And that music, I don't know why, but that, like, I'm like pretty sound sensitive sometimes. There was something about the High Rollers music and the horns or whatever brass instruments it is. And it's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
You don't like it?
It's very like theme park.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I feel like they've been experimenting a little more with the music that they've been playing throughout the episode. And I feel like overall I've liked it. It's a little more serious at times, which is a little jarring because I'm used to like, but I've enjoyed it.
I don't think the High Rollers introduction music is very serious. It's
no, I wouldn't say that. Just you reminded me of the other music.
I mean, sometimes we didn't barely even got music at all. I was just like, get ready for a takeover. Like, that got stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. And for what? Like, two lines.
I mean, we had earlier this season, the wild card music. It was like, mm-hmm. Wild card! Yeah. Okay. All right. So everybody's going to go in one by one, and we get to open the envelope. So America voted, and then also we got envelopes. And so we'll go through them real quick because the show really blew through it. Azza got 50. Azza got the lowest possible total at every single turn, right, Taryn?
Yes.
Even the envelope she got.
She did get the 100, right, from the envelope?
No, she got 50 and 50.
She did still get the 50.
Yeah. she got hosed.
Like, come on, America.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay. Xavier got 75, but he got BB bankrupt, so he does not get to play. Alyssa is up to 75 and opens to get 100 more, but she already played last week on Chopping Block Roulette. We got an interesting conversation about Hannah and Tiffany talking about how Claire should win the Coin of Destiny because that will make her ineligible to play. Lavina, was this Hannah's idea that ended up coming to fruition?
I'm not sure. Taryn would know better than I do, but I mean, it sure seemed like it. I think that, honestly, I don't even know if anybody else had thought about this. If I was in anybody in the rest of their positions, I don't think I would. You definitely want to have the best odds that you can going into an HOH competition. So it really is in Tiffany's best interest to get dethroned and make sure it is somebody like Claire and not someone like Derek F, who's not going to be able to compete next week for the HOH. So I think that it is genius. I'm not sure if it was Hannah's.
What do you think, Taryn?
In the beginning?
It was Hannah's idea. She's very proud because it was like basically her first plan that she's made. It was her plan. She made it happen. She's like, that was so exciting. I mean, basically, you know, this big superpower that they've introduced that everybody's been waiting for, the Coin of Destiny.
Derek X lost his game for.
Derek X, he screwed himself over in the hopes of getting this. Nobody actually wants it because it's worthless to them. They think let's just give it to the one person that is not with us so that she can waste her week here, and then we'll do even it's Rob. I they've somehow managed to this majority alliance. They've somehow managed to find a way to game this twist to their advantage and nullify it and just come out on the other side. Even I'm so surprised. I can't believe they've managed to do this to such a well thought out twist. It's incredible.
Sure, but I do think that it is interesting that it wasn't like, okay, we're controlling everything. All right, Big D, just you take this and then just flush it. No.
Yeah.
We will. What they did was that we will engineer a way for one of the three people who are not in our alliance to get the most powerful advantage in the game so far, and then we will tell her not to use it. That is very impressive when you think about it, that the best way to flush the power was to give it to a person not in the alliance.
Yeah.
It's very baller. I will say, like, I thought the execution of, like, Hannah and Tiffany trying to get Claire to go for it was really good. You know, I liked that, you know, Hannah used the argument of, like, Sarah Beth might be getting some money from America. And then Tiffany is just like, I just felt like they weren't strong arming her at all. And it was very like Tiffany was just like, are you sure? Like, you realize you can't play in the HOH next week. Like, showing some care and that, like, you know, isn't just being like, yeah, go for it, do your thing. Like, just being like, are you sure you're making the right decision? Because I don't know. I just felt like the way that was executed I think made Claire feel even more comfortable to gun for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like just like guiding her to the trapdoor with spikes beneath it, and they were just like, I mean, somebody's gonna have to do this. We should do it. No, I should do it. You're gonna do it, really, Claire? There's spikes there. Are you sure?
You won't be able to play HOH next week, Claire.
Yeah, right below you. I mean, this door is about to. Are you sure? Are you? Oh.
But I did warn you. I did actually warn you.
We brought you as far as we could, Claire. Mm-hmm. There's just we couldn't protect you anymore.
Yeah.
Again, theme of the season. Like what the cookout has done is some of the most entertaining, just an incredible strategy to watch. And I think that, you know, people that, you know, aren't, you know, I understand not liking majority alliances, but I feel like this is a different kind of majority alliance. You know, of course, that the message that they want to send and the mission that they have, which is bigger than them, of course, that, but also just the fact that it's not to say that they avoid power, but they are willing to not be in power. And they really haven't that much been in power to make the moves that they need to make. Like they just kind of like use their extras and toss them. And that's really all this is, again. And I'm sure that if I was in Claire's position, I would really kick myself seeing the season back. But
I think one of the most impressive things about this alliance, and I've seen it talked about on Twitter, is that like people keep on being like, oh, it's so boring. It's a steamroll. And it's like, if you're looking at it from in terms of like comps and power, the cookout actually hasn't had that much power. I think it was like something like 35% or something of comps were won by cookout mm-hmm. members. But their positioning and their influence on other people with power is truly what is like making things happen. And I think that that's just like really impressive. So mm-hmm. It's not quite the same as it is technically steamroll in that they're like doing it together, but not steamroll in the way that people usually talk about it, in that like, you know, like the committee last summer where they were winning every single comp over and over again. It's like no one was even right. getting power. It's like
no
they're
power
using
shift.
Their influence on people. Like,
right.
That's cool.
It wasn't like there was a week where Kevin won the HOH and like and Cody was like, all right, put up Davon and Ian this week.
Yeah. I mean, and I saw a visual on Twitter right before we went live was I think the caption was like, don't say that there haven't been power shifts this season. And it showed Sarah Beth like super happy in the DR last week. And then this week, Sarah Beth's just crying all the time, which is the perfect visual for that. Because obviously with like, you know, Jenny said with the committee, there's just zero power shift. So I think that this is a completely different kind of power dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it is a steamroll. I mean, like, yeah. let's not mince words. It's a steamroll. But it's
like a social steamroll.
It's at least I think from some people's perspectives, a more entertaining steamroll than a competition mm-hmm. steamroll. Certainly from my point of view. But yeah, I mean, they're
as someone who like blacks out during competitions, I certainly find it more interesting because I don't find the competitions interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, go back to the high roller room. Okay. So Hannah is, even though she has, 300 total, she's going to opt, not to play, this week.
I don't need it.
No, doesn't need it.
Thanks. I appreciate it, but, I'm good.
Yeah. Kyland, down to $50. Did he ever break out of the 50 tier? No. 50. Okay. So he will not get to play for the Coin of Destiny. Tiffany gets to see. She gets 100. Levina, this was, I thought, the capper to a nice episode for her. I mean, ultimately, she's going to get dethroned, but to get back to the 100 from America, I think she hit all... Did she go 75 down to 50 and then up to 100? Did she hit all three tiers?
I thought it was 75, 75, and then 100. I could be wrong, though.
Karen, did she drop down to 50 in the middle week?
She dropped down to 50, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that people are starting to see that, you know, Tiffany is this incredible strategist. And on top of that, like we said like earlier in the podcast, she's just an amazing character in the DR and in the house. Just like everything about Tiffany is just a very well-rounded player as well as a well-rounded TV personality. So I think that again, like we said, even though she was dethroned, she still has like a good, I don't know, I guess you could say just like a, like just a good story. Mm-hmm. Obviously it doesn't end here, but this is a really good peak for her story, particularly, and I hope that they show this following the veto episode next week with, you know, her just kind of rubbing it in the boy's face, like, well, you guys said that the cookout girls don't do this, don't do that, but like, here we are, we're here to play. So I think that that's going to be really a good peak for her story. Hopefully not the full peak, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's also like it lines up with the inconsistency in her edit and how that she's been packaged to us. But I also think that, you know, with Derek X out of the picture, that his allies also get a boost. And so mm-hmm. I think that that makes a lot of sense why, you know, the three people that get $100 are the people that were closely aligned with Derek X.
Okay. So Sarah Beth comes in and Sarah Beth tells us, well, hold on. I still have the coin of destiny to play for, because if I open the envelope and get $100, and then if America sends me $100, I could play in the coin of destiny and America sent her 100 BB bucks. Oh, no.
Oh man, she gets 100 from the envelope too.
Yeah, she had
so
it.
She just she needs that it. That she just she's short just 50. She just needs 50 extra dollars from America. America, please, can you give her that $50?
Honestly, America can wipe their butt with.
Oh no,
Sarah Beth.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what?
Honestly, America can wipe their butt with $50.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's not gonna work out.
And I love how that's a Nicole F quote too. It's just perfect for it.
Mm-hmm.
and the thing too is that like it's not only because let's be real. It's not like that line prevented her from getting $50 from America. She was not going to get that $50 from America. But she said that line while she was playing in the veto competition last week. The veto competition that she did not need to win to accomplish her goal, even though her goal was bad. She could have easily taken the $100 from that veto competition.
Ooh.
And been able to afford the coin of destiny this week. But instead, she was so dedicated to this bad move that she was making that she needed to make sure that Derek X left, even though literally every person playing would have used the veto either on Xavier or Claire would have used it on herself. And Derek X would have gone up anyway. He would have gone home anyway. She decided to play for it. She lost. And did not take those BB bucks. And this week, just another mistake to add here to the list.
Okay, sorry, Sarah Beth. Okay. All right. Let's go to Derek F., who has gotten BB bucks at every turn. But Tiffany told Derek F. to skip it. Now, interestingly, he goes to the high roller room, and he this time only gets 75 BB bucks, Jenny.
I mean, there's been the discussion about
what changed.
Mm-hmm.
what has happened here? He was getting so much money, and suddenly there's a Derek gone. I don't know. There's a the Derek F versus X truthers out there. I think one of them might be on this panel here.
Yes. So I do think that, you know, certainly that like there must have been some people who were voting wrong. But I do wonder if like Derek X might have been just like so far out in front and Derek F might have been either, you know, second or third. But like all of the other house guests were much closer in the rankings and just the popularity of Derek X and his allies just pulled other people up. I mean, he didn't go down to 50. There obviously were people that were like some people were still voting for Derek F. But
I mean, how could he have gone down to 50, though? Like, I mean, Aza, I guess, would have had to surpass him.
I guess,
but after after he got the 100 the first 2 weeks, the edit has been so gung ho about Big D. And the thing about this, how this vote works as well, is that each subsequent week, it's easier and easier to get into the top three because there are fewer people in the house.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's not just that it's like now it's, you know, top three of the nine players in the house versus three of the 11, but also the other two top players, Brittany and Derek, have been evicted one after another.
Mm-hmm.
So from the first top three, there are now two empty spots that can fill. So Derek, Big D, the guy that was already in there, has extra room to be in the top three, and yet somehow falls out of it entirely.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all I'm gonna say.
I was just going to ask, do we know if people who just texted Derek got a follow-up text saying,
Yes. Yeah. But
even after Derek X was out, though.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
But as we all know, everyone knows Derek F as Big D, and everyone knows Derek X as
Baby D.
Yeah. So, what if you just texted D?
Exclusively.
Yeah. Yeah. So
are casuals voting, thinking that they are potentially giving Derek X bucks,
in
on the jury for some sort of
buyback
situation? Mm. You never know. They might not be able to follow what's happening here.
You never know. I just think that. So then once Derek X, I think Derek X must have been getting 50% of the vote. Yeah. And then when he's gone, they're like, all right, well, who are his friends? And none of those votes were going to Derek F at that point.
Yeah, and it just elevated the Hannah and the Claire and Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've got my tinfoil hat on. Now I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, do not forget what happened to Alyssa. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just still cannot get over the fact that we are doing text voting. And I know, we're beating a dead horse at this point, but, I just don't get it.
I mean, it's giving very much early 2000s American Idol vote for your favorite. What it reminds me of.
It's all coming back. Yes.
Bucket hats, not, and you're testing the vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Xavier's going to be so happy. Okay. All right. So Derek F is going to play Jenny. He's going to play, but then he's going to throw the comp.
His explanation was so confusing because he's like, I need to play so that I can show that I was gonna play. After just showing a clip of Tiffany asking him not to play so that he could, be eligible to play in HOH the next week. But I feel like this doesn't get properly, explained by Derek F. But I'm assuming the reasoning is that it would look fishy to outsiders of the cookout. It wasn't so much about showing the cookout that he was going to play, because obviously he knows that Tiffany didn't want him to. But maybe more about I just don't want to give away how secure I'm feeling with Tiffany by not playing.
Yeah.
I don't know though.
I'm actually going to side with Big D on this one. Not only do I not mind it, I probably would have done the same thing. First of all, I'm bored.
But Taryn, he should have done a Jordan Parhar and gone to sleep on the table.
Yeah.
He can sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly. I would have been cheating. I would have been going right up to the slot and being like, boop, I got one in. I would have just been fooling around. Mm-hmm. Just out of sheer boredom, I probably would have done it. But in addition to that, and I don't know that he had this exact intention, but by not playing, when you're going to claim that you played, you are potentially missing out on details about the competition that you would have known had you played. So by playing, I got this many things to roll, or it looked like it was super downhill, but it was actually pretty straight. And you actually had to roll it pretty hard. Little details that if for whatever reason you're questioned about it, you're not going to, just completely whiff on them if you're going to be pretending that you played.
Okay.
To clarify, I don't disagree with the decision to throw it if he's playing. If you're going to play, I think that it made sense for him to throw it because he does want to be eligible to play in the HOH next week. It's just his explanation of it was very confusing and it made it sound like he wanted to play. Until he said, oh, but I'm not actually trying, I'm going to throw it. I was like, oh, okay. That makes so much more sense. I just felt like his diary room explanation made it sound like he was actually planning on properly playing. Mm-hmm. So I think if he knows he's going to lose it, then showing that he was actually trying to play makes sense. It just didn't make sense in this explanation.
All right, well, let's get to Claire. Claire opens. She gets $100 bucks from America. She gets $50 from the envelope. She's got $250. She doesn't want anybody to mess with Tiffany's HOH.
She really doesn't.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, remember in Big Brother 19 in the finale, they showed that, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, whatever, but I think that when they showed the DRs of everybody saying, I just love Paul, I feel safe with Paul, Claire kind of reminds me of that when it comes to Tiffany. Of course, Tiffany is not directly coming for her the way Paul was coming for literally everybody. It's just funny how people are saying, like, I'm so safe, and, you know, Claire saying, I'm so safe, when in reality, Tiffany's probably going to be ready to let go of her as of next week. I just thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I genuinely think this has been the worst twist they've ever done.
How
much it has backfired on them. Because not only did they introduce a twist that has directly led to Brittany, Derek X, and ultimately probably Claire being eliminated from the game. Essentially, their top three vote getters, they put a target on their fan favorites back. Not only did they directly eliminate the fan favorites from the game via this twist, they also made them look like absolute idiots on the way out. Every single one of them. And the twist looks like it was an idiot too. Because in the last two of them, literally one person played and then one person jokingly played in the next one to let the other person, they let the other people win so that they could burn them in a dumb way. And it was like, they've made an absolute fool of production. Production made an absolute fool of themselves with this twist and how absolutely devastatingly it has backfired.
Yeah.
But don't you love this, Taryn? The twist had no impact.
Oh, it had an impact.
I disagree. Yeah. I think the twist had an impact. It was a very bad one.
Yeah.
Well,
or like, what they were intending.
Exactly.
What if they didn't get America involved? What if the twist was that there was this room, you could win you could earn the BB bucks, you could play, you could win the second veto. Would it have been as much of a debacle?
It wouldn't have been as bad because it wouldn't have been like, tell us your favorites so that we can put them on the hit list. Mm-hmm. It would have been a little bit more like, we'll let them compete so that the majority has the bigger chance to win these powers, which, you know, is you know, not that dissimilar, but at least it's a little better than at least you don't look quite as foolish as you do with this one. But man, I just like they keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, and they do not understand why it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah. All right. So after Claire plays, we are told that the Huskies are going to meet in the dining room. Jenny, that the Huskies seems stunned. We have a dining room?
Well, it's a dining room connected to the kitchen. It's open concept. There's a dining kitchen. Table in it in a room. Yeah. So I guess by definition, it is a dining room. Okay.
Well, this was an elaborate setup here because we had this like catapult contraption here. When we heard about the coin of destiny, I did not imagine it was going to be anything like this. Lavina, that we saw Tiffany stand with the giant penny and say, okay, this is the coin of destiny, and I, as the HOH, have to load it into the catapult and launch it into the air.
Honestly, I thought that it was tolerable. I was like, oh, here they go again, like doing their thing, whatever, production. But then when it went slow-mo, that's when I was like, okay, no, this is actually ridiculous. But it was funny. I mean, hey, I'll take it. But like, did we really need the slow-mo, guys? Like, it wasn't even good slow-mo.
I love this because Big Brother production every step of the way here has been like, you mother effers, you people on the BB streets are saying, oh, obviously it's going to be rigged. They brought out a whole roulette table last week. And this week they were like, here's what we'll do for you. We got a whole trebuchet going on here. We're going to launch this coin. You're going to see it flip a billion times. Oh, yeah, we're rigging this one, aren't we?
I thought it was funny when they zoomed in. They were like, one side looks like this. This side looks like this. That's when I started thinking they don't want us to think this is rigged.
Yeah.
That was the first thought.
They didn't even let the house guests throw the coin. So there you go. And then the person who won the Coin of Destiny picked heads. It was heads. And Tiffany's HOH was stolen, only to have the same exact nominations come back up.
Kylan and Sarah Beth, you are no longer on the block. The first nominee is Kylan. The second nominee is Sarah Beth.
Couldn't they have, like, switched it up so it was, like, different order at least? Like, give us something here.
This is
the most bizarre ceremony I've ever seen on this show. Like, from the slow motion to the, like, the weird contraption, the slow reactions of everyone's faces, like, with it in the air. I was like, is this a real show right now? I could not get over this. Mm-hmm. And then the result of it is just even more of a farce. It was just, it was great comedy. Every once in a while, a BB 20 or BB is like a real legit comedy. And I felt like, you know, the ending of this episode was.
Yeah. And followed by Claire telling us about how, I finally have the power to keep everything exactly the same because I respect Tiffany so much.
Yeah, this was unbelievable. The Claire says,
I finally have some agency here.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Agency is not
seeing a cart coming down the rails and then touching it and being like, oh, look, I did something. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you didn't. It was going in that direction anyway.
Yes. I was thinking about this, that, like, this is so great because now every time I don't feel like doing anything, I'm like, I have agency that I am going to do nothing.
Yeah, no, like, you know that meme where it's like, oh, hey, can I copy your homework? And then the other person says, yeah, sure, but change it a little bit. It wasn't even that. It was just, can I copy your homework? Hey, sure, copy my homework. Please do, actually. That's literally what it was.
Jenny, I hope that someday we can all find somebody who respects us as much as Claire respects Tiffany.
Yeah, that, I mean, she used her agency to just, you know, let her continue to be HOH just with no Beyonce and no robe, and maybe the squatty potty still, but I'm unsure on that part. Yeah, I mean, Claire is a great ally, and that's good reason for Tiffany to probably be very sad when she eventually lets her go, whether it's next week or the week after. Yeah, it's hard. I feel bad for Claire. Like, I know we're really, like, dogging Claire on this, but she's working with her understanding and interpretation of the game right now. And she is working closely with Tiffany, and in her position and how she sees the game right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to her to completely, you know, like, have this upheaval and put different people on the block. You know, she was playing to protect herself from potentially being, put on the block. So I kind of feel for Claire a little bit here. Like, I know we're kind of dogging her on it, but, like, she can only see things from the way that she's, her perspective on the game.
This is Big Brother we're playing, not Big Baby. We don't respect HOHs here. I don't care if it's your friend. She knows this is not her optimal move. She said it multiple times and she's still doing it.
But Tiffany is so cool, though. Come on.
I mean, I would honestly, like,
I wouldn't want to screw up her HOH.
Yeah, I'd be like, whatever you want, queen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and here's the thing. Like, these house guests
don't
Mama obviously
mad at me.
Right. Of course, like, they don't know that a cookout exists. Like, they don't know who's in it. They don't know anything about it. But I think that the way they see the house is, I'm playing in a duo. Alyssa's probably like, I got Xavier. And, you know, SB's like, hey, I got Kylan. And Claire, of course, saying, I've got Tiffany. Maybe I feel very safe at the moment. So, you know, of course, we can't put ourselves in their shoes because we see everything and more. But, you know, the way that they see it is, I think that they think it's a very duo season when it's clearly not to us.
Yeah, like, they're out, like, night on the town, and everyone's just handing Claire their things. Like, oh, can you just hold this for me? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then she's just loaded up on purses and jackets. And everyone else is having fun, and she's just kind of standing there, like, "Yeah, I'm helping my friends. Yay!" I'm
calling Claire a coat rack.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's tonight's Big Brother episode. Should we bring in the weekend of the live feed spoilers?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll get to the spoilers in just one moment. But first, let's thank our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, if I'm not getting enough sleep, worried about work or family issues, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you might with traditional therapy. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. And BetterHelp wants to help you start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for RHAP listeners: get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Let's talk about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Trying to see if I can find any more weird stuff down here. Give me a minute. All right. Let's talk about the veto and everything from the weekend. Tara, could you update us on the veto results?
Yes. So here we go. Sarah Beth needed to win this veto. Now, if Sarah Beth wins this veto, Claire has the ability to actually do something with her HOH, her coin of destiny HOH. And Sarah Beth was 23 seconds short of winning this veto because Hannah won the veto.
Congratulations, woo, Hannah, on her first veto and comp win of the season. So
ladies are doing it this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We
all
love
three
to see it.
If
yep.
Claire, Hannah, back to back to back said, Sarah Beth, you can wipe your butt with those BB bucks.
DX's angels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anything else to watch this week now, Taryn?
Here's the current drama. The current drama is that Hannah won this. She wants to use it on Xavier to win favor with Alyssa. Kylan is feeling left out. He's feeling like, wait, but I do the manipulating around. If I should be able to manipulate you and using it on me. His logic right now is that he wants to be off the block so that he can give Sarah Beth the sympathy vote. And he recently discovered that that's a terrible argument because everybody hates Sarah Beth and they don't want her to have a sympathy vote. And he was like, oh, I didn't realize how much people didn't like Sarah Beth. That just makes me even more sad and wanting to give her a sympathy vote even more. Please use the veto on me. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to use the veto on him. Nobody wants him off the block. And they're getting increasingly annoyed with him. It's more Kylan, his place in the cookout deteriorating. Then I imagine a big one will be who goes home next week. Is it Claire or is it Alyssa? Right now, it seems like most people are settled on Claire. But obviously, there are a couple people that would probably go for Alyssa. And that does matter because at 7, having your person there is very useful. You can safely kind of throw the HOH so that you can play at 6. and you don't have to worry about like, you know, oh, if that person wins, woo, you're not in trouble. So there are a few different reasons why they're going to be positioning themselves to have that person. But those arguments haven't really hit too much because they're still focused on this week.
I just don't understand, like, don't they feel like Alyssa is more of a challenge threat than Claire if they're trying to make sure that they actually get to the six? Wouldn't you, because Alyssa's been, like, close on a lot of these HOHs, and, like, I mean, mm-hmm. Claire has won power, but, like, only in the high roller, right? And mm-hmm. it's yeah. not with any real
competition. She won a wild card competition also.
Yeah, right. she's beaten a total of like she beat three other people in part one of the first HOH. She beat two other people in a wild card competition. She beat one other person in a high roller competition yeah. that was throwing the competition.
Right.
Not great statistics there. Alyssa, though, not that great either. I mean, she won a veto that was thrown to her, but she didn't beat everybody else, although Aza threw it as well.
Yeah.
It's a good argument, and it's one that I expect Tiffany to use once she has to start making those arguments. But I think right now, it's a lot of the guys recognizing that they want to keep Alyssa around, and the women are trying to position themselves with Alyssa so that even if it is Alyssa, they're good. And it's also that because Claire can't win the next HOH, it's like, okay, so she's guaranteed to be an option, and thus they're talking about her more.
But can I just say that the week that Alyssa goes home, I mean, that Sarah Beth is Brittany Haynes times Janelle compared to Alyssa. Alyssa... That was she had the showmans. It was one thing, but is there anybody that's just more there than Alyssa is?
Well, I mean, I saw a quote that she said, this game is so repetitive and it's so, I just don't feel like playing or something. So if she doesn't care,
so
why should we?
That's yeah. so much in this game.
So much sitting. And
at least I feel something about Sarah Beth.
Yeah.
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 She's, love a good villain.
She's giving us something. She's giving us these sound bites at least, you know, to edit her as a villain. I don't think the edit really knows what to do with Alyssa. So we're not feeling anything. We're not.
Yeah, I will agree. I think, you know, Claire, quite frankly, deserves to get the Sarah Beth treatment next week and go the following week that she screws up with this Coin of Destiny. However, I do agree, actually. I think Claire is probably a better Final Seven person for them to like Brittany Haynes, or she, I think we'd get probably some more from her than Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what Alyssa's the best for is probably reading off like what the competition is, and you know,
yeah,
and
that was her job tonight, wasn't it? Or maybe not. It was another episode. That's usually what we're in the diary room for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I do feel like for the men, it makes sense to try to keep Alyssa to seven, and then for the women, it makes more sense to keep Claire to the seven in terms of if they if they happen to win the HOH, who might get targeted from the cookout. So
do we think we're getting Zingbot this weekend?
Oh,
I wanted to think about that.
This weekend, I don't think so. I think it would have to be
next week,
or this weekend as in next week.
This Saturday.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's definitely possible. I mean, we'll be down to eight, so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, especially because it's either going to be that week or the following, right? Because if there's a triple, so yeah, I would guess we get Zingbot, yeah, next week.
Okay, all right, we got that to look forward to. All right, let's take some questions from the listeners. This is one from Helena. Was it right for Tiff to target Sarah Beth this week, even though Sarah Beth wanted to work with her? Was it better for her to target Alyssa instead? Any thoughts on going for Sarah Beth over Alyssa?
We talked about this in the Q&A, Rob, but I do think that that the move to take out Sarah Beth is not necessarily optimal for Tiffany, that taking out Alyssa probably is the better call because it means that she would be able to all but guarantee Claire as the person at seven, because nobody's going to let Sarah Beth through at eight. But the problem is that nobody should let Sarah Beth through at nine either. And there's no way that she can make this happen and protect Sarah Beth this week without pissing off the entirety of the cookout. And it's not worth the small advantage it gives you to take a huge disadvantage once you actually do hit six and people are still pissed off about the fact that you were trying to play so obviously selfishly here at nine. So I agree. I think taking Alyssa out is her better play, but she couldn't really have her fingerprints on it. she had managed to like convince Claire to do it, or if the veto had played out in a certain way, that would have been great. But I think taking out Sarah Beth here, not a huge mistake, just not the most optimal.
Okay. The coin of inevitability wants to say, would they be better off bringing back food and luxury comps rather than high roller twists? Lavina, would you rather see food competitions on the Sunday night episodes?
I will admit to you that a lot of the older seasons that I watched back that I didn't watch live, I would skip over the food competitions.
What?
But there were some seasons where I felt like it did impact at least the social drama of it, where I wouldn't, but some seasons I would skip. But I think in this context, my answer would be yes, I would rather see the food competitions because of the other option.
Well, how about, and hear me out, no competition.
There you go.
Go on.
Then I don't have to black out during the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big Brother Productions.
Seriously,
like,
yeah. The whole time.
I'm not okay with that.
Yeah. Big Brother Productions.
I mean, I think that back when they did the food competitions where you got like certain food items, was more interesting than just like putting people on flop.
No, see, I was gonna say the opposite of that. Like, I feel like that they should have competitions where, okay, the team that wins, they get to eat whatever they want, and the team that loses, they don't get to eat, and maybe at least have that be like when it's like they're playing for food groups of like, oh, if we get this point, we get cured meats in the house. Like, stop it. Well, we'll get raisins if we do this. I don't care about what food groups they have in the house.
What if they were battling for like alcohol or like some extra treats or something instead of just like straight up food groups? Like,
sure, just put that in the house every time.
It's still like, what does it matter to me until it actually results in anything? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why I skipped them typically. But honestly, slop is just such a non-factor in today's show that if I could have a third option, like Taryn said, I would do no competitions at all.
And it just makes them sleepy and cranky. So it's like, I don't know, if you're going to have some sort of food disadvantage, like, make it something more interesting than just putting them on slop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If people do like they have-nots, but they never show any like have-notty stuff. I mean, Survivor is a show that nowadays barely shows the survival elements of their show. You think that Big Brother is going to really go in on have-nots still? The problem is that it's repetitive content, I think. You can only get so much out of that. And people only care so much about it. Because the thing is, in the early 2000s, people did care about what food they had in the house. It's such a novel concept.
You could vote. America could vote. Mm-hmm. It's a time for America's choice. Would you like to see the house guests get A, bologna and bagels, B, cat food and carrots, or eggplant and eggs?
And the Stan Wars of the time were probably like, how dare you? It needs to be bagels.
And you were also texting that to 97979.
Mm-hmm. It's the same number.
Yeah. Look, they didn't have to change their number. Okay.
The only reason bagels and bologna is winning is because it starts with a B. That's it.
That's it. All right.
Tinfoil hat.
Ryan says, I need clarification. Is Claire eligible to play in the next HOH competition? I think the answer is it's complicated.
So I believe how this works is that Claire will be competing in the next HOH competition, but she is under direction that she should throw the competition from production. And now if she does not throw the competition and ends up winning the competition, she will be disqualified. So basically the proposition is either you throw the competition or we out the fact that you were the coin winner and we give it to second place, which means that there's going to be a second place worth noting.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So what does that mean? It will be.
They are
something
speculating
with a score?
Slip and slide.
Yeah.
They're speculating slip and slide, which would not be overly surprising at this point. The twist has ended and we're in for something of an endurance competition.
But there
competition.
Wouldn't be a second place in slip and slide.
They would probably just say, keep going. This is Claire, you finished, but you're not.
You're disqualified.
Yeah.
So
like,
awkward.
Claire is not the winner. They have also speculated that perhaps there's going to be something like a safety jar. And would Claire be able to go for the safety jar in a competition like that? And I would assume yes. Hannah assumes no. You know, that's another sort of wrench that could be thrown into some plans.
Okay.
Yeah, because at least if it was like a true or false in a booth type thing, then, you know, having Claire throw it is a lot easier without, you know, exposing that it's her, which everyone knows anyway. I don't think that they're doing that when they just did something like that. So I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like the reason why Slip and Slide does seem very plausible to me is that it's a very easy competition to throw without, you know, screwing it up. Like all she needs to do is make sure she's behind. I can't get it out of the thing. It's a lot. Very easy. It's a lot of work to win that. You can't accidentally win Slip and Slide. Because I think the last thing they want is for on the show somebody to go ahead and accidentally win, and then have to be like, well, we gotta redo this. Even on like a wall or something like that, like if everybody falls and then it's just her on the wall, then it's like whoops. Something like that makes sense. Maybe like the egg wire thing could make a little bit of sense, but we're probably due for a slip inside. It would not surprise me at all if it was a slip inside.
What if she gets a scoop that has like a hole in it, and so it's like the soap is kind of coming out of it as she's carrying it, so it's just like she's never gonna get as much in as everyone else.
Well, I mean, we'll probably have to see her like dump some out, like, oh, I was dumping it out over here. But again, that's assuming that there's no like safety jars.
Yeah, and unless that she is like secretly like a speed skater, I think Xavier has this locked up.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on BB23?
That's it.
Yeah. I do think that would be potentially an interesting scenario, though, with an Xavier HOH and with Claire having some way to be safe. Then Xavier, it would have to put up Alyssa on his HOH, and so what fun. Would he is they like? Oh no, you're the pawn. Trust me this week. And then when she goes home, is he like, oh my god, I thought you were safe this week? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why the safety like twists have always been more tolerable to me, because they're not powers that somebody can use to upend the entire game, but they are little wrenches that can be thrown in the plans of the majority if the wrong person gets safety. Or if somebody in the majority gets safety, it doesn't matter because they're already safe. But if it lands in the hands of a minority player, then all of a sudden, things have to shift around and they might get a little more dramatic, which is exactly what would happen if Claire won safety in an HOH competition this week.
All right. Anything else BB23 related tonight?
Rob, Claire said that her strategy in the comp was Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious, yeah.
Did you switch to 3X for that?
Yes. I guess that she felt like that Tiffany is in La Familia.
Exactly.
She was going 3X with those coins.
Which I didn't understand that, because like then her coins that weren't making it into the holes were just like in the way. Yeah. I didn't really understand the Fast and Furious strategy from Claire, but it all worked out.
It all worked out just like in the movies. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. Tomorrow morning, Taryn is going to be back with a Maggie Monday to talk about everything that's going on. Taryn, any sneak preview for tomorrow's The Live Feed Update?
Just people complaining about Kylan's, really.
Mm-hmm. Is that in the chat or this is going to be in the episode?
Both.
From Xavier, really. I mean, Xavier is done with Kylan. He's like, we got to get this guy out of here.
Interesting. So, because it sounded like for about a week or so, there was going to be a divide of like the men versus the women in the cookout, but that does not seem like that's going to be the case now.
It was always a surface level divide. Xavier's been gunning for Kylan for a long time now. He just was, you know, less annoyed with him until recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll hear about it on Monday morning. Monday night, we'll get into the slop. Jacob Jones will join me. We'll be doing that at 8 p.m. Eastern for the patrons at robiswebsite.com/patron. Then, the roundtable is coming up, and Mari Forth will join Taryn and Melissa this Tuesday night. Let's see how the stock watch is going to play out on the BB Roundtable coming up on Tuesday night this week. And then Wednesday night, we will be, oh, I'm sorry, it's the B&B. The B&B is going to be back this week. Kirsten McInnes joins Mike and Liana. Check out what's been going on the last couple of weeks. Talking about the jacked jellyfish and more on the BB B&B. Then I talked about the fourth best season of all time as voted by the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast with Mari Forth and Lindsay Wilson. We will be, that was Survivor Fans versus Favorites. We'll be back with the third best season of Survivor. It's Survivor Pearl Islands. Mike Bloom and Haley Strong will join me this Tuesday night as we talk about Survivor Pearl Islands. Then on the Drag Race All-Stars wrap-up, Liana, Amon, and Beth are back to talk about episode 11 of the Drag Race wrap-up. Then also on Married at First Sight, Asia and Amy are back with Mari to talk about everything that's going on the latest episode of Married at First Sight. Of course, so much going on in our patron podcast feed, The Slop, the BBQ&A with Taryn. We had a very fun one on Friday. Got into everything with our Derek X interview as well. Plus our Survivor Patron Feedback Show, the Patron 5 for 5. Still got to work on the Patron 5 for 5 for this week. Maybe coming Monday night. Check it out in our Patron podcast feed at robinsonwebsite.com/patron. Then, of course, check out everything from our sponsors at robinsonwebsite.com/offers. And also, subscribe to our YouTube channel by hitting the subscribe button, and of course follow us on social media at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter, at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Okay, Jenny, what's coming up for you?
Not too much, actually. Kristen and I are finally going to finish up our coverage of F Boy Island.
Yes.
Yeah. We had to take a little bit of break. I had some busy life stuff in the way, but I'm back. And so we're planning to record the finale of that coverage. So that'll probably be hitting your feed sometime this week. Other than that, just looking forward to seeing, you know, how this end game shakes out. So yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jenny Autumn.
Yeah.
Played some Among Us today.
Oh, how was that?
That was a good time with both of these lovely people here. yeah, it was really fun. I hadn't played in a couple weeks and, I thought I was a little rusty, but it all went okay. It was good. So follow me on twitch.tv/JennyAutumn. I'm occasionally there.
Yeah.
And maybe Jenny, a little bit more now. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. As you mentioned, the final, weeks of the season, I believe the Big Brother season ends 1 month from tonight. September 29th will be the finale of Big Brother 23. So 1 month from tonight, we'll find out who the winner is. Lavina, what's coming up for you?
Nothing. Just super excited to see how this season really plays out. I think that it's really gonna pick up even more from here, and I think that, you know, seeing when we do potentially come down to the six, that's going to be probably the most compelling gameplay of the season thus far. So I'm super excited for that, super excited to talk about it with you guys, and yeah, and slicing people up in Among Us. You guys should definitely watch those streams because they get a little chaotic. And Jenny, you are not bad today at all. Okay,
thank you. Well, I'm sorry. Again, I want to say sorry for my audio earlier in the podcast. It was storming here. It seems to have stopped. Everyone, stay safe wherever you are.
Yeah.
Storms have been bad lately. Yeah.
Of course, we're thinking of all of our listeners in the Louisiana area, everybody affected by the path of Hurricane Ida tonight. So we're thinking of you and hope that everything is okay on your end. Taryn, what is coming up for you?
You can, as always, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I also played some Among Us today. It was a good time. We had some fun. You can find that every weekend here for some Among Us. I was also live for this episode, watching with you guys. It makes these episodes a lot more fun to watch it with everyone. So come and join me, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
All right, had a lot of fun on the panel tonight. Thank all of you for making it such a good one. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.